Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
At my direction, the United States Armed Forces conducted an extraordinary military operation in the capital of Venezuela.
The United Nations Security Council is holding an emergency meeting today after U.S. forces attacked Venezuela and abducted Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife in a nighttime raid. President Trump has claimed the U.S. will seize Venezuela's oil and run the country.
So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition.
We will go to Caracas for response, then speak to two Venezuelan American professors, and we'll talk to Georgetown Law Professor David Cole. He says the invasion of Venezuela is not law enforcement, it's imperialism, pure and simple. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. military launched a large-scale attack on Venezuela Saturday to capture Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. Missiles rained down on army bases, airfields, and key infrastructure across the capital, Caracas, and the surrounding region. By 2 a.m., U.S. Special Forces reached Maduro's residence and abducted him along with his wife. They were then boarded onto a U.S. warship and flown to the United States. President Trump posted an image of Maduro bound and blindfolded aboard the USS Iwo Jima. Maduro and his wife were later held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, New York, facing criminal charges of narco-terrorism conspiracy, cocaine importation conspiracy, and weapons charges. They're now being flown by helicopter to Lower Manhattan to appear in federal court. Shortly after the operation, President Trump praised U.S. forces for abducting Maduro and his wife and promised to run Venezuela and seize the country's oil. Venezuela has the world's largest reserves of crude oil.
The oil companies are going to go in. They're going to spend money. We're going to take back the oil that, frankly, we should have taken back a long time ago. A lot of money is coming out of the ground.
After the operation, Venezuela's Supreme Court officially designated the country's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, as interim president. On Saturday, Rodriguez denounced the abduction of Maduro and his wife and vowed Venezuela is ready to defend itself against the United States.
We demand the immediate liberation of President Nicolás Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, the only president of Venezuela, President Nicolás Maduro. Everything within the Constitution, we learned it from Commander Chavez in the face of adversities, in the face of coup d'etat, in the face of oil sabotages. We are ready to defend Venezuela. We are ready to defend our natural resources that must be for national development.
Soon after her comments, President Trump issued a warning to Rodriguez, telling The Atlantic magazine, quote, if she doesn't do what's right, she's going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro, President Trump said. By Monday, Rodriguez posted a more conciliatory message on Instagram, saying her government's ready to work with the U.S. She wrote, we invite the U.S. government to collaborate with us on an agenda of cooperation oriented towards shared development within the framework of international law to strengthen lasting community coexistence. Meanwhile, Semaphore is reporting, the New York Times and the Washington Post knew of the secret U.S. raid on Venezuela before it was scheduled to begin Friday night, but held off on publishing the story to avoid endangering U.S. troops. A senior Venezuelan official speaking to the New York Times said at least 80 people, including civilians and soldiers, were killed in the U.S. attack Saturday. The Cuban government said 32 of its citizens had been killed, including military and intelligence personnel in Venezuela. This is Jonathan Mayorga, whose home was damaged by U.S. airstrikes.
I don't agree with this. No matter what happened, whatever it was, look at everything that happened there, inside, over on that side too, and in the back as well. All of that, we have to be aware. We have to have principles. Now I'm hoping for a quick response from the government to help my family, my children, because they nearly killed my kids here. You know, my kids were almost killed. Up there, there were families too. Two elderly women died because of these acts that never should have happened. Because we aren't to blame for what happens in this world. They have their problems and we have ours. Now look at all this chaos. I don't agree with this, gentlemen.
President Trump has also threatened military action against Colombia, Cuba, Greenland, Iran, and Mexico following the U.S. attack on Venezuela. Speaking to reporters Sunday aboard Air Force One, Trump specifically targeted Colombian President Gustavo Petro and claimed without evidence Petro's trafficking cocaine into the U.S.
Now, we have a very sick neighbor. It's not a neighbor, but it's close to a neighbor. And that's Venezuela. It's very sick. Colombia is very sick, too, run by a sick man who likes making cocaine and selling it to the United States. And he's not going to be doing it very long, let me tell you.
What does that mean? He's not going to be doing it very long.
He's not doing it very long. He has cocaine mills and cocaine factories. He's not going to be doing it very long.
So there will be an operation by the U.S. in
Colombia? It sounds good to me.
In a series of lengthy posts on X, Colombian President Gustavo Petro blasted President Trump, saying, quote, "Stop slandering me, Mr. Trump." Petro called on Latin America to unite against the U.S., saying the region risks being, quote, "treated as a servant and slave," unquote. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio put the Cuban government on notice following the U.S. attack on Venezuela. Rubio spoke to NBC's Meet the Press Sunday.
Is the Cuban government the Trump administration's next target, Mr. Secretary? Very quickly.
Well, the Cuban government is a huge problem. Yeah, the Cuban government is a huge problem. First
so
of all,
is that a yes?
Cuba, but I don't think people fully appreciate. I think they're in a lot of trouble. Yes, I'm not going to talk to you about what our future steps are going to be and our policies are going to be right now in this regard. But I don't think it's any mystery that we are not big fans of the Cuban regime.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has congratulated President Trump on what he called a perfect operation in Venezuela. He spoke Sunday from an Israeli cabinet meeting in Jerusalem.
Regarding Venezuela, I want to express the entire government's support for the determined decision and action of the United States to restore freedom and justice to that part of the world as well. I must say that across Latin America right now, we are seeing a transformation in several countries that are returning to the American axis and, not surprisingly, also to a connection with the state of Israel. We welcome this. We congratulate President Trump on his decision. We also salute the American military forces who carried out a perfect operation.
Prime Minister Netanyahu's praise for the U.S. assault on Venezuela came as Israeli forces occupying the Gaza Strip shot and killed at least three Palestinians in separate attacks over the weekend. Among the dead were a fisherman and a 15-year-old boy. Their deaths bring the number of Palestinians killed by Israel in Gaza since the October 10th ceasefire was declared to 414, with more than 1,100 injured. Meanwhile, in occupied East Jerusalem, over 130 Palestinians from 26 families face imminent eviction from their homes in the neighborhood of Silwan after Israel's Supreme Court denied their final chance to appeal their evictions. Russia's reaffirmed its support for the Venezuelan government, calling the U.S. attacks extremely concerning and deserving of condemnation. On Saturday, Russia's foreign ministry wrote in a statement, quote, Venezuela must be guaranteed the right to determine its own future without destructive external interference, particularly of a military nature, unquote. The statement came a day after a Russian missile attack on Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv, leveling a multi-story residential apartment block, killing two people, including a three-year-old child, while injuring 28 others. Greenland's prime minister, Jens Frederik Nielsen, fired back against President Trump's threats to take over the autonomous Danish territory Sunday, saying on social media, quote, threats, pressure and talk of annexation have no place between friends. Enough is enough. No more fantasies about annexation, unquote. On Saturday, Katie Miller, the wife of Trump aide Stephen Miller, posted a social media picture of Greenland painted in the colors of the United States flag hours after the U.S. military operation against Venezuela. Last month, President Trump appointed Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry a special envoy to Greenland. Soon after, Landry vowed to incorporate Greenland into the United States. On Capitol Hill, as lawmakers return from their winter recess, top Democrats say the Trump administration has still not briefed members of Congress about the U.S. attack on Venezuela. In a statement, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries called Maduro a criminal and authoritarian dictator, but condemned President Trump for using military force without congressional authorization. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer issued a similar statement calling Maduro an illegitimate dictator, while Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who serves as deputy chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, condemned Trump's invasion of Venezuela as blatantly illegal and unconstitutional. Ilhan Omar added, quote, we must vote on a war powers resolution so that the people's elected representatives can have an open debate and vote on the merits of a war against Venezuela before Trump's regime change efforts cause further chaos and harm, Congressmember Ilhan Omar said. Protests against the Trump administration's unilateral and declared war in Venezuela erupted across the U.S. and around the world over the weekend. Anti-war demonstrators took to the streets of Ankara, Brussels, Havana, London, Madrid, Mexico City, and cities throughout Venezuela and across Latin America. Here in the United States, protesters rallied in Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and dozens of smaller communities from coast to coast. This is Seth Galinsky, who joined protesters outside the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where President Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores, are being held.
You know, I'm here because I think it's outrageous what the U.S. government did in Venezuela. Whatever you may think of the Maduro government, that's not the issue. But the U.S. government has no right to go into a sovereign country and basically openly say, we're going to take the oil, we're going to take the gold, we're going to exploit the resources.
In Iran, human rights groups say at least 16 people have been killed during a week of protests. Speaking to reporters Sunday, President Trump threatened to intervene on behalf of the protesters, saying, quote, we are locked and loaded and ready to go, unquote. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei responded by saying Iran, quote, will not yield to the enemy, unquote. Human rights groups say at least 582 people have been arrested in protests over soaring inflation and the collapse of Iran's currency. And in Wisconsin, Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan has resigned while she appeals her conviction by a federal court on charges she obstructed federal agents from arresting an undocumented immigrant. She was accused of helping the immigrant leave her courtroom in April to avoid arrest by agents waiting in the hallway. The judge faced calls to resign from state Republicans who threatened to impeach her unless she stepped down. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
The United Nations Security Council is holding an emergency meeting today after U.S. forces attacked Venezuela on Saturday and abducted Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife in what may have been described, in what many described as a kidnapping. Delta Force troops seized Maduro and his wife from a military base in Caracas. The two have been flown to New York, where they're appearing in Manhattan federal court today to face drug and weapons charges. The U.S. attack reportedly killed about 80 people, including 32 Cubans in Venezuela. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva and other world leaders criticized the U.S. attack. Lula wrote on X, quote, "The bombings on Venezuelan territory and the capture of its president cross an unacceptable line. These acts represent a grave affront to Venezuela's sovereignty and set another extremely dangerous precedent for the entire international community," Lula said. Major questions remain about what comes next in Venezuela. On Saturday, President Trump said the U.S. will run Venezuela.
"So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition."
Trump also said the U.S. will take the oil from Venezuela, which has the world's largest reserves of crude oil.
"The oil companies are going to go in. They're going to spend money. We're going to take back the oil that, frankly, we should have taken back a long time ago."
On Sunday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio appeared to walk back Trump's comments about U.S. plans to run Venezuela. But on Sunday night, Trump told reporters aboard Air Force One that the U.S. is already in charge.
"We're dealing with the people. We're dealing with the people that just got sworn in. And don't ask me who's in charge, because I'll give you an answer and it'll be very controversial."
"What does that mean?"
"It means we're in charge."
"Have you spoken with her?"
"We're in charge."
"Have you spoken with her?"
No, I haven't, but other people
have. "Do you
want to?" "Yeah, at the right time, I will."
In Caracas, Maduro's vice president, Delcy Rodriguez, is being sworn in today as Venezuela's interim president. On Saturday, she denounced the abduction of Maduro, but on Sunday posted a message on Instagram saying her government is ready to work with the U.S. In an interview with The Atlantic magazine, Trump threatened Rodriguez, saying, quote, "If she doesn't do what's right, she's going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro," Trump said. On Sunday, Venezuelan Defense Minister Vladimir Petrino warned the U.S. may attack other countries in Latin America.
"La Fuerza Armada Nacional Bolivariana.
The Bolivarian National Armed Forces firmly rejects the cowardly kidnapping of citizen Nicolas Maduro, constitutional president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, our commander-in-chief, and his wife, the First Lady, Dr. Cilia Flores de Maduro, an act carried out yesterday, Saturday, January 3rd, after cold-bloodedly murdering a large part of his security team, soldiers, and innocent civilians. This represents severely a threat against the global order. If today was against Venezuela, tomorrow it can be against any state, any country."
Venezuelan Defense Minister Vladimir Petrino. Over the past 2 days, Trump has threatened to take action against Cuba, Colombia, and Mexico. We're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about Venezuela. We begin in Caracas, where we're joined by Andreina Chavez, reporter based there. Her recent piece for Drop Site News, War of the Entire People, Venezuela's Grassroots Rise to Resist Trump's Naval Blockade. That was before the U.S. bombed Venezuela and abducted the president and his wife. Andreina Chavez, thank you so much for being back with Democracy Now! Can you talk about the response on the ground overall, though we spoke on Saturday in an extended discussion? If you can talk about who the people are who they are saying now are in charge, like Delcy Rodriguez, and the response to the overall attack. We now understand about 80 people died in the process of the U.S.'s abduction of the president.
Yes, so thank you so much for having me again. Just to give you a small recap of events, today is January 5. 2 days ago, on January 3rd, Venezuela was attacked by the United States We suffered several strikes, several bombings on the ground, on civilian populations, on military sites, and also on electrical facilities. So we suffered in Caracas. We woke up around 2 a.m. to the sound of very loud explosions. The fear was indescribable. We realized very quickly that we were being attacked by the United States. We now know that they bombed at least 7 places in Caracas, only the capital. They also bombed additional places in La Guaira, Miranda, Aragua. In Caracas specifically, what we have seen so far is that some electrical facilities have also been affected by U.S. bombs. And there are now at least dozens of Venezuelan communities, neighborhoods, popular neighborhoods, who are without light, without electricity, and the national company is just trying to fix that problem. Of course, it's going to be very difficult because an entire electrical facilities were destroyed by U.S. missiles. So that's what happened. Not right now, what is going on the ground is that the Venezuelan people are just going to the streets in an organized way. They are protesting against the U.S. bombings. They are protesting against the kidnapping of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. Yesterday, I went to a rally that happened right here in Caracas, very near to the Miraflores Palace. People, once again, they were denouncing that U.S. bombings against Venezuela is an imperialist attack. It is an unjustified military aggression. They were demanding that President Maduro and his wife are returned to Venezuela. And they were completely rejecting the narrative that Venezuela needed to be bombed in order to supposedly take down a drug trafficking organization. That is not true. And the Venezuelan people reject the notion that the Venezuelan government was in any way related to drug trafficking. We all know that the Trump administration has been lying about this. We have seen it when they have been bombing vessels on the Caribbean and killing civilians without any proof that those small boats on the Caribbean were actually carrying drugs. So we have seen them kill people in the Caribbean without any evidence, without seizing any drugs. And they're doing the same against Caracas. They're doing the same against the Venezuelan government. They are pushing these false charges against President Maduro, a false indictment against him in order to justify what they want, which is a regime change. And that is the bottom line. What is happening in Venezuela right now, it is an attempt at regime change. And right now, we have an acting president, which is Vice President Delcy Rodriguez. She is going to be in charge of the Venezuelan executive office from now on. But it is very clear that she has said that Nicolas Maduro continues to be president of Venezuela. He is still the constitutional elected president of Venezuela. She is going to be acting as the head of the executive office from now on. Exactly today, we have a meeting from the National Assembly, Venezuela's legislative body. They're going to turn in Delcy. They're going to officialize that Delcy is now going to be in charge. And they're also going to initiate a new legislative period in Venezuela. All of these elements, they ratify that Venezuela still has a government. We still have a Bolivarian government. We still have people in power who are facing the situation, who are calling people to resist. And Delcy has said it many times now, Venezuela is not going to be a U.S. colony. Venezuela is open to dialogue with the United States. Venezuela is open to cooperation based on respect with the United States. And this is in line with Venezuelan foreign policy. Venezuela has always had a diplomacy of peace, which means that we have been calling the United States for years, since Hugo Chavez was president, to have bilateral relationships with Venezuela based on respect, to stop intervening in Venezuela and to respect Venezuelan sovereignty. So that is what we are seeing right now in Venezuela. Of course, people still have fear that something else is going to happen. We know that Trump threatened to bomb Venezuela again. And something that I have been seeing, speaking to people both in the rally and in the streets, is that people fear that there's going to be more bombings. So people are being very cautious. Yesterday, I walked around the capital and I saw people still buying food, buying water, just trying to feel safe somehow that they're going to be able to resist any kind of attack against Venezuela in the coming days or weeks.
And Adriana, I wanted to ask you, in terms of some of the pronouncements of Delcy Rodriguez, now the who's being sworn in as the interim president, appearing to give overtures to President Trump to try to have cooperation between Venezuela and the United States. What do you make of those comments of hers most recently?
Yes, so like I said, Delcy Rodriguez is not saying anything new. Venezuela has been claiming, has been asking the United States government, not only the Trump administration, but the Biden administration, the Obama administration, even the Bush administration back in the day. Since the very beginning of the Bolivarian process, since Chavez took power, we have been asking the United States to enter into bilateral relations with Venezuela that are based on respect, that are based on sovereignty, that are based on the principle of non-intervention. So this is in line with the Venezuelan foreign policy. Venezuela is a country that prioritizes diplomacy, and that is what Delcy was saying, that we are still open to have bilateral relations based on actual cooperation, based on actual respect as mutual sovereign nations. So, of course, Delcy is following the line of President Maduro, who even during these last few months, when the United States was threatening Venezuela, militarizing the Caribbean, bombing people in the Caribbean, President Maduro was still saying, we're open to dialogue, and we're open to have cooperation with U.S. companies, such as Chevron. I mean, Venezuela has never been close to the idea of not having any kind of economic or political cooperation with the United States. We just don't want it to be on the base of them violating our sovereignty. So that is what Delcy has been saying.
We're going to break and then come back to this discussion. We're speaking with Andreina Chavez, reporter based in Caracas, in Venezuela. And we're also speaking with two Venezuelan-American professors coming up, with Miguel Tinker Salas and Alejandro Velasco. And we'll talk to Georgetown Law professor David Cole, who says the invasion of Venezuela is not law enforcement, it's imperialism, pure and simple. Stay with us. Great Randy Weston playing the blues. To see his performance and our interview with him, go to democracynow.org. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Secretary of State Marco Rubio appeared on ABC's This Week and was asked by George Stephanopoulos why the Trump administration did not seek congressional authorization prior to attacking Venezuela.
Why wasn't congressional authorization necessary?
It wasn't necessary because this is not an invasion. We didn't occupy a country. This was an arrest operation. This is a law enforcement operation. He was arrested on the ground in Venezuela by FBI agents, read his rights, and removed from the country.
Also speaking on ABC This Week, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said the U.S. had no authority to enter Venezuela and oust Maduro.
They did not just do ships off the water. They went inside Venezuela, bombed civilian as well as military places. And it's a violation of the law to do what they did without getting the authorization of Congress.
All of this comes after months of U.S. attacks on boats who the Trump administration accused of carrying drugs in the Caribbean and Pacific near Venezuela, though not providing evidence. For more, we're joined in Washington, D.C. by David Cole, constitutional law expert and professor in law and public policy at the Georgetown University Law Center, former ACLU national legal director. He's just written a piece for the New York Review of Books. It's headlined Trump's War. The invasion of Venezuela is not law enforcement. It's imperialism, pure and simple. Professor Cole, welcome back to Democracy Now! Lay out your argument, this key point that they're making. They did not consult Congress, Trump, Rubio, the Trump administration, because this is a law enforcement operation. What does that mean?
So it's clearly not a law enforcement operation. This is an operation that began by summarily executing hundreds of people, over 100 people on boats who are claimed to be